The Youth's Instructor, June 28, 1900. The Price of Our Redemption, Part 5. The Youth's Instructor, June 28, 1900. The Price of Our Redemption, Part 5. At the time of the Passover, the Jews and their adherents from far and near were drawn to the Hebrew capital. And it was in God's appointment that the crucifixion took place at this time. Universal interest must be attracted to the plan of redemption. Matters of eternal interest must now become the theme of conversation. The Old Testament must be searched as never before for the evidence of the work and character of the long-looked-for Messiah. Minds must be convicted and led to ask, "Is not this the Christ?" God knew that every transaction in Christ's life, His trial, His condemnation, His crucifixion, and His resurrection, would become a matter of the deepest interest. As Adam and Eve were banished from Eden for transgressing the law of God, so Christ was to suffer without the boundaries of the holy place. He died outside the camp, where felons and murderers were executed. There He trod the winepress alone, bearing the penalty that should have fallen on the sinner. How deep and full of significance are the words, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." He went forth without the camp, thus showing that He gave His life not only for the Jewish nation, but for the whole world. Look at the superscription above the cross. "The Lord arranged it." Written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, it is a call for all, Jew and Gentile, bond and free, hopeless, helpless, and perishing, to come. Thus Christ declared to all nations, tongues, and peoples, "I have given my life for you. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." As by His own choice Christ died in the presence of an assembled nation of worshipers, type met antitype. He is a true high priest. For after enduring humiliation, shame, and reproach, after being crucified and buried, He rose from the dead, triumphing over death. When Christ died on the cross, Satan triumphed, but His triumph was short. The prophecy made in Eden was fulfilled. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Christ was nailed to the cross, but He gained the victory. The whole force of evil gathered itself together in an effort to destroy Him who was the light of the world, the truth that makes men wise unto salvation. But no advantage was gained by this confederacy. With every advance move, Satan was bringing nearer his eternal ruin. Christ was indeed enduring the contradiction of sinners against Himself. But every pang of suffering that He bore helped tear away the foundation of the enemy's kingdom. Satan bruised Christ's heel, but Christ bruised Satan's head. Through death, the Savior destroyed him that had the power of death. In the very act of grasping his prey, death was vanquished, for by dying, Christ brought to light life and immortality through the gospel. Never was the Son of God more beloved by His Father, by the heavenly family, and by the inhabitants of the unfallen worlds, then when he humbled himself to bear disgrace, humiliation, shame, and abuse. By becoming the sin-bearer, he lifted from the human race the curse of sin. In his own body he paid the penalty of that on which the power of Satan over humanity is founded, sin. Not that sin might become righteousness and transgression of the law of virtue did Christ die. He died that sin might be made to appear exceeding sinful, the hateful thing that it is. By his death, he became the possessor of the keys of hell and of death. Satan could no longer reign without a rival and be reverenced as a god. Temples had been erected to him and human sacrifices offered on his altars. But the emancipation papers of the race have been signed by the blood of the Son of God. A way has been opened for the message of hope and mercy to be carried to the ends of the earth. Now, whosoever will may take hold of God's strength and make peace with him. The heathen are no longer to be wrapped in the darkness of superstition. The gloom is to disappear before the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising.